as I was introduced, I'm Ray Hanna. I was here maybe 25 years ago, and I recall it. There was a young people's here on a Saturday night, and I brought some young people here. I wasn't young then; I was still past that age. But I brought some other young people here. But what I do recall is that there was a young guy here, and he may have been a Rogers. I'm not sure. I didn't get to know him well, but boy, was that guy flexible. He set two chairs out, and he spread his legs out, and he went down below center. I mean, I would have been in the hospital for quite a while after if I tried to do anything even close to that. So that's what I remember here about your chapel. Anyways, I'm glad to be here, and I work with the sailors in the ports of Vancouver, and it's a real blessing to do that. And I've been getting to know Ian. We've been working together, and I really enjoy the times that we go on board the ships together. And we meet. We have some amazing conversations. That's all I can tell you. It's amazing the way that the Lord is using us. And I got to say, why me? You know, I mean, I'm not a great Bible student. I'm not very good at explaining myself. I'm a terrible writer. But you know what? I do love my Savior, and I'm so thankful for Him, and I want to share that with other people. So it's a real privilege for me to be able to share the good news with the sailors there. Today we are, of course, as you know, we're looking at John 14, verse 6 in particular. But, you know, the first verse I thought of here, actually before I just get started with that, I was thinking as we sang these beautiful songs, and it sounded beautiful, but I do have I'm not sure if you're bringing that up here, but I got one already. That should do me here. Thank you, though. As we're singing these songs, they're beautiful to sing. What about putting them into action? I mean, the Bible is a book of action. It really is. I mean, if we go away from here the same way we came, then was it really worthwhile? The Bible is a book of action. And as we sing these songs that are there to remind us, there to encourage us, there to direct us, it's easy to say words. It's not always easy to do them. But that's why we're here, to be an encouragement and a help and a challenge to each other here. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now that would bring great fear to everybody. Terrible things. But you know what? When I read my Bible, it says, fear not. Trust in God. I still think one of the key verses, and I'm getting sidetracked here, but one of the key verses in the Bible, if not the key verse, it's a key theme, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And I just see that more and more, that the Lord is telling us. Stop looking around at the worldly events and start looking up. And keep your eyes fixed on Him, doing what He says. Not just to look up and get all dreamy-eyed, but to obey His word. We need to be salt and light. Talking with Brian about the school situation and the need there. I'd say Brian and any teacher needs a lot of prayer. What they are facing in the school system today is very tough. My daughter teaches at Sperling Elementary. I think it's very close to here. The situations that they are in the public schools that are being put to them, and even in the private schools, what's being forced upon them, is very anti-God. It's very much against the Bible. We need to be salt and light, and that's not going to be easy. And we need to be an encouragement to each other, not criticizing or judging each other, but to be an encouragement to each other, to help each other to stand firm for the Word of God. Because the whole world is going on a big shift. We need to be standing strong against it and letting people know that, no, this is not the norm, that there is another way, and it's found in the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 6, we know this verse here. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all gone our own way. Now, this verse was written approximately 2,500, 2,700 years ago, and it's still true today. And I don't know if you can relate to it, but I sure can. I've gone my own way. Not only have I gone my own way, the world is proud that they've done it my way. They sing about it. I've done it my way. We've gone our own way. And you know, we may be like soldiers marching, and they're all going the way that the leader is telling them. Outwardly, they're going the way that leader is telling them. But inwardly, in our minds, we've all gone our own way. It's a verse to me that kind of shocks me a little bit when I realize that we have all turned away from God. We have all gone our own way. We're all driven by our own desires. What we see is right or wrong, what we want, what makes me feel good. And please understand, I'll say we a lot, but I'm really referring to myself. And I know that if I feel this way, then many of you, or most of you, if not all of you, will also have experienced some of these same things. So that's why I'll say I and we, but I'm referring to myself first. I'm always speaking to myself first. But we also need to be, I know that we all kind of go down these same paths and these same thoughts sooner or later. So what we're looking at today is very important because we have gone our own way. We've gone our own way. We've decided that we're going to do it my way. And even when we try to follow the Lord, that pull is still back there to pull us back to doing it the way we want. Let's turn to John chapter 14. If you have a Bible there, if not, listen along here. John chapter 14 says this, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you will know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Back to verse 6 here, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. One of the great, amazing statements, and no half an hour will do this verse justice, and I certainly will not be able to do this verse justice. But I just want to point out a few things that as I've been looking at this verse, that have come to my eyes and made me appreciate what the Lord has done. Who he is. He is so much more than just a man. He is God himself. He is everything. In Acts 17 and verse 24, I'm just going to read this to you here. It says this, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by humans' hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God. If perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and exist. You know, when we go our own way, we are trying to find ourselves. I hear that many times from people. I'm trying to find myself, or I've gone away. They've maybe left their family for a while, a little bit of quietness to find themselves. You know, that's not our goal in life, not to find ourselves. that we would seek for God. Though he is not far from us, but we know God reveals himself to those who look for him. And it's not as if I want to find myself because I'm the top of the pile. You know, that I am it. No, it's not about me. But this is my natural tendency to think that things are about me. My own pride makes me want to do everything to my own good. And I don't want to judge other people's motives, but I know that there's many people that do good. And when I do good, it brings me joy. But again, I got to say, for me, it's bringing it back to myself. It's I do these things because it brings me joy. But when I look at what we should be doing, it's to seek God and to serve him. When I look around at the world, and I see the wonder of creation, and we're starting to get into spring, hopefully soon. We're starting to go that way. You see the amazement of creation as life begins again. And I have been, as I look around the world, and I become aware of these things, I got to say that whoever made all these things is much, 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 much greater than me. He is so much greater than me. I think of all the doctorate degrees that you can get. I don't know how many there are, and I'm sure they're coming up with new ones all the time, but there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different doctorate degrees you can get. And even if we took a look at those who have doctorate degrees about the body, you know, we've got eye specialists, ear specialists, skin specialists, heart specialists, blood specialists, vein specialists, limb specialists. I mean, we got all these different people. Did they create anything? No, they didn't. What did they do? They've done a great job, and I'm very thankful for all of them. But what they have done is study to learn about what God has done. The Creator is much more than the student. And when I look around at all the different degrees, all the different learning that we can do, all we're learning about is what God has put into place. Whether we acknowledge him or not is another story, but that is what we're learning about. Whether the people study the stars or the oceans or study engineering, these are all things that God has put into place. So we can truly say that God is the greatest. He is much, much, much greater than anything that we have done, anything that we could give credit to ourselves for doing. We know that this world is changing a lot in what it believes and what it practices. And it's throwing some foundational thinking out the door. And it says, well, now this is the way we're going to do things. And this is now what we believe. And they've changed. They're trying to rewrite history. They're trying to rewrite these things here. And, you know, there is a time for creative people. And, you know, I maybe call them artsy type people. And there is a time for that. But there are a few times in my life that I am very thankful for people with foundational thinking. When I get onto an airplane, I am glad that it is not designed by some engineer who has decided there's no such thing as gravity. And so, you know, we're just going to design it the way we want it to be. No, I want one that believes in the traditional thinking, and he's following the traditional ways of engineering to design a plane. And when I think of going to a doctor, I don't want to go visit a doctor who's got some new way of thinking that says that the heart's really not that important. And if I'm facing heart surgery, I want a doctor that believes in the traditional way of thinking about the heart. I want these traditional fundamental ways of thinking. And there's another time that I'm very important for fundamental traditional ways of thinking, and that is when we are talking about eternity, life after death, life after death in our body. I want to learn what the Bible truly says. I'm not interested in someone who's come up with a new theory. I don't know how they get these different theories, but I am looking for someone that is going to follow exactly what the Bible teaches us. So there's a time for new things, but not when it comes to eternal matters, not when it comes to following God. We need to be carefully reading exactly as he has told us what to do and follow along with it. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. But he's not just the beginning and the end. He's everything in between. He is absolutely everything that is in between. And I think that's what this verse tells us here, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. When I stop to try to understand this, that he is the way, it really boggled my mind. I couldn't fully grasp it. I don't think I'll ever fully grasp when the Lord could say that he is the way. And this verse divides. This verse divides different religions, different people. It divides families. Sometimes when I meet sailors, they kindly say to me, I think they're trying to be very nice to me, and they say, all religions lead to God. This is what they'll tell me. I think they're trying to make peace with me. And I thank them for their peaceful thoughts, for being kind like that. But I go back and I say, the Lord, I quote this verse to them. And I tell them, we cannot just say, well, that's just one way. It's very clear. This verse divides. Why does it divide? Because it's truth. Truth does divide. We have become a world where we try to debate things, and it's the common people that, everybody get together and we'll agree on what is truth. No, truth, it really is irrelevant whether I believe it or not. We want to find the truth, because the truth is fixed. The truth is for sure. And that's why I go back to this verse here, and I end up saying to many of them there, I thank them for what they say, but I quote this verse to them and I say, the question is, you've got to ask yourself, is it true or not? Not even if you believe it or not. That's a secondary issue. But is it true or not? In John 8 and 24, it says this, Jesus states, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. This is why this is so important. This is why we got to take this one seriously. Because if we get it wrong, we will die in our sins. I see what's going on right now in the world, and I think that, the new president in the United States has brought out, he's really polarized things, and I'm not blaming him at all. But it's really become very evident with the media fighting against him and him against the media. And you see kind of the way that people are demonstrating and people are, the way that they're acting up. And you look around the world, all around the world, what's going on. And the new thinking that we are having is taking us away from this. And this is the question today, is not about, is it Vancouver the best place to live, or is it, some other place in the world? No, that's not the question. That's an opinion. What we are looking at today, the big question here is it true or not? And if it's true, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to follow it fully? Are we going to believe it fully? Are we going to live and act like it's true? In 1 John 5 and 13, it says this, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you might know that you have eternal life. This is a key. Coming back to John 14, 6, this is a key verse. Why? That we might know that we have eternal life. In the early church there, in Acts 9, it tells us that Saul, he went out to persecute those belonging to the way. That's what they were called after the Lord Jesus Christ. They were called the way before they were called Christians. But our Lord can say, follow me. There is no other way. Let me clearly state it and proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way by which men and women may come to the Father. There is no other way. That is not being impolite or just being politically correct or intolerant. It's simply stating an absolute truth. But I know that some people reject this, and they will pay the consequences for it. And I want to share with them. I want to point them. I want to be just a road sign to them, pointing them to the only truth, to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14, 4 there, I like Thomas there, good old Thomas. And you know the way that I am going, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? I would love to have seen how he actually said that. He's confused. We don't even know where you're going. How do we know the way? That's a good question. Today we have maps. Today we have, you know, everything on our little phone that helps guide us and tell us where to go. But the one thing our phones cannot direct us in is the way to God. But we are thankful that we have the Bible in our language that we can read, that we can all carry. There was a time when that was not possible. We could not have afforded a Bible. We did not have access to one. Maybe there was one in a church. But today we have the Word of God. It is the map for our life. It is the guide for our life, for us to follow Him. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says this, "The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." He will bring us to God. We cannot get there on our own. Our own way will not take us to God. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the way. We know that many people claim to be the way. And there are still many people claiming to be the way. In John 10:1, it says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber." All the other ways that claim to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ, without going through the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the same as a thief and a robber. And we know it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Beware." The Lord gives us these warnings, not to be deceived, but that we might truly follow him. So we see here that he says that he is the way. He's not a way. He is not on the way. He is the way. I was trying to really wrap my mind around that. And I'm still working on it. That he is the way. We know that, well, if you're like me, you kind of think that I do things myself. I'm responsible for things myself and I take care of things myself. But the more I stand back and look at my life, I realize how much or how little I had to do with it. And it was all of God. It was all of the Lord. He is the way. And we need to be following him. He's the only way. And it says that the Lord says, and the truth. You know, Pilate could say, what is truth? We know that this world is so mixed up. Right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. In Isaiah 5:20, a very strong verse, a warning verse. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." The Lord gives us a very strong warning. Woe to those people. We want the truth. And I find for myself, it's very easy to deceive myself. I'm very easily deceived by myself. I convince myself that it's okay. I mislead myself. And along the way, I mislead other people. And I see it happen in all the world around us. We need to be going back to the Word of God. We need to be spending more time reading His Word. And I always encourage, as I speak to anyone, especially those who do not believe, I ask them if they'll read. I give out a lot of Gospels of John. I'll ask them if they read it. And I say, before you read, say, "God, whoever you are, wherever you are, help me to know the truth." Because I think everybody says they want the truth. I'm not sure if they really do or not, but they say that they want the truth. And I pray that the Lord would reveal himself to them as they honestly seek him, that he will show them the truth. So we see here that the Lord says that he is the truth. All the schools of learning, all the education, all the books we read, if they are not pointing back somehow to the Word of God, either directly or indirectly from the teaching, then it's not truth. Truth is found in the Word of God. And you can look at any form of education that I could think of and say the truth from it, good teaching, comes from the Word of God. The truth comes from the Word of God here. The Lord says that He is the life. Life. You know, I was doing a little calculation here. I like a little bit of trivia sometimes. And I think that if you live to be 70 years old, you'll have taken approximately 500 million breaths. Do we ever stop to think about breathing? I seldom do. Maybe if I'm under the water or something, I think of it there. I was reading a very sad story there. They're talking about the dangers to the commercial fishermen and how that it's still such a very dangerous job. And they were telling a story of a sailor, a fisherman. He was standing on the rope, and the rope was all kind of curled up in a big expanding ring, as they neatly do. And the net that they had thrown over kind of got stuck. So he reached over the side of the boat with a big pole, and he was hammering the net, trying to free it up. Well, all of a sudden it got freed, and it dropped, and it was attached to the rope. So all of a sudden the rope that he is standing on, it is perfectly wound, went right around him and pulled him overboard. And they quickly yelled to the captain there. He turned the boat around to be in the right position, and they dragged him ashore, or dragged him on board. But it took approximately 10 minutes. When they had dragged him on board, he was lifeless. They could not revive him. Young man, perfectly healthy, I assume. In 10 minutes, his life was gone. Why? His breath. How much would he have paid for one gulp of breath? I think he would have given everything for his one gulp of breath. We have, like I say, approximately 500 million breaths. And have we ever stopped to thank the Lord for the air we breathe? We have everything is in God's hands. He is the one who supplies us everything that we have and need. In John 1:3, it says this: all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Lord is our life. He is our life. He is our light to all men. And we already read in Acts 17, and it says, again, repeating that, just the last part here, it says, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. He is the giver of life. In Luke chapter 2, it says this: for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of the people of Israel. I can't stress it enough. Everything is from God. We have the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, but everything in between is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all in all. And we need to acknowledge that. And until we acknowledge that, we are going to struggle along with our priorities. We are going to struggle along in happiness and in peace with God. We need to recognize who He is. And then it says, and no one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way. You can try all you want. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. Any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. You're trying to break into heaven. Not going to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. I'm so thankful that I heard the gospel, and I was raised in a home where the Bible was read and the gospel was preached since as long as I can remember. But And I'm very thankful for what I was raised with, but one of my greatest joys to me is pointing to sailors, and I think particularly of the Chinese. Some of them have never heard the name of Jesus, the only name that saves, and they have never heard the name of Jesus. To me, that is one of my greatest joys, is to tell them about a Savior, to tell them about one who died for them, the one who loved them so much. All religions of the world have one thing in common: more good deeds, less bad deeds, and you go up a level, whatever it might be, whatever they believe. Well, of course, God wants us to live that way, but it will not take us to heaven. We need a Savior. We need one to stand in the gap, to stand between us, to stand between us and the judge and say, I took it all. You know, as I've been reading Hebrews there, we know about the, it says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the next verse you go on to read, and it's before him we will stand naked and bare. As we stand before him naked and bare, no excuse will work. You know, we will. If we had to go to court, we bring a lawyer with us, a defender, one to defend us, trying to make us sound like we're innocent, make excuses. You know, we stand before God, I don't think there'll be any questions asked, because he not only knows what we did, he knows why we did it. We need a Savior. That's the only thing that will help us, is a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by him, but through him. You know, when I read these verses, it just makes me realize how the Lord Jesus Christ, he is central. He's pivotal. He's the fulcrum. He's the absolute center of everything. And we need to be following him with all of our heart. We get sidetracked around in the world around us. We set our goals in the world around us. And I know we got some young guys here, and I'm always glad to talk to the young ones. And you're looking maybe at choosing a career, and there's a lot of choices in your life, and the choices still keep coming. But I want to encourage you to put God first in all of your choices, to trust in God. My daughter got news today that she didn't get a, or not this week, that she did not get a job that she was trying to get. I'm trying to encourage her. You know what? God knows. And you know what? It's better that she didn't get it, because she didn't get it. God knows. We can trust in God. That's not always something you want to hear when you've been praying for something. But we can trust in God. He knows everything about what is happening. So the question really comes down on this verse that we really got to ask ourselves. Even myself, I got to ask. Is it true or not? And if it's true, then I need to follow it with all of my heart. I need to put God absolutely front and center. As I said, with these songs we sing, it's easy to sing them. When we go out into the world here, is it easy to put these things into practice? I don't think so. I know I struggle with them. And one day I do it, the next day I forget about it. And then the Lord's got to remind me about these things here. What a wonderful verse this is. It is so full, it is so complete, and there's so much in it. But I want to speak now for a minute to those who may be not too sure about it. And maybe you're not too sure about who God really is. And maybe you're not too sure whether what's this all about. First off, I'm very thankful that you are here. But when I want to tell you about my Savior. See, I lived for the first 19 years of my life hearing the Word of God taught. But I can tell you, I had no peace in my life. I was always trying to not just do it my way, but I was always focused on my inside. But when I was 19 years old, and Ian's heard this many times as we visit the sailors, when I was 19 years old, I lived in fear of meeting God, and for a good reason, because of my sins. But when I was 19 years old, I asked myself two questions. Can I really trust God? I knew I couldn't trust myself, because many times I had said, I will never do that again, only to do it again. But I knew that I could trust God. Yes, I can trust God. And then the next question I asked myself, where does God say my sins are? God says that all my sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we can go to the rest of that verse we started with. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. I'm going to just quote it to you here. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity, or the sins, of us all to fall on him. I ask myself, where does God say my sins are? He says they're all on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said to myself, if they're all on him, then they're not on me. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. And I don't think there's been a day since then that I have not thanked the Lord Jesus Christ for taking the punishment for my sins. When I look at the cross and I see what the Lord Jesus Christ did, I want to come here this morning and to praise him. He is my Savior, and now I try to make him my Lord. I can't always say he is my Lord, because sometimes I try to take the control over and make myself Lord again. And when I do that, I quickly fail. But when I give him back the controls, Lord, you're Lord, and I try to follow him, then I have peace again with God. And that's what we want to encourage anyone here. If you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, first off, you've got to realize there's a need. We are all sinners. God calls it sin. We've broken God's laws. We have not met his standard. The Bible tells us that. So that's why, even though I may not have ever met you before, I know I can speak truthfully from the Word of God and say that we have all sinned. A friend of mine was sharing with some people about being sinners, and this one lady came up to them and said, she said to them there, she says, you know, I'm not a sinner, I've never sinned. My friend, in a joking way, said, that's nice to meet you, you're the second person. First was the Lord Jesus, and now you, never having sinned. Well, we know that's not true, because what you see on my outside, that's the best. The deeper in you go, the more sinful you find me. You know, and we're all the same. Yes, outwardly we maybe try to act nice and do things, but if we actually acted out some of the things we thought and felt like doing, this place would be even that much more wicked. But we've sinned. We cannot get to heaven like that. One time I asked a sailor there, I said, you know, if you were to die right now, where would you go? He said, I'd go to heaven. I said, that's wonderful. Why would you go to heaven? Because I'm a good person. Meanwhile, the rest of the crew laughed because they knew him. I didn't know him. I said, compared to me, you're probably a good person. You know, compared to each other, we're not bad. I mean, a little up and down here and there. But I said, what about compared to God, who is absolutely pure, absolutely holy, absolutely white? I liked his answer. He said, nobody stands a chance. And that is so true. When we stand before a holy God, we don't stand a chance. We need a Savior. And the good news is the salvation has already been provided. Our sins have already been fully paid for. Now what does God want us to do? He wants us to agree with him. I am a sinner. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve heaven. I've sinned against you, God. And to receive his gift of salvation. How do we receive it? By believing. Just by believing it. That's how we receive it. You know, for 19 years of my life, I was hung up with how to believe. I would always tell myself, I believe. And then I would look inside my heart to see if I believe correctly. And of course, I was just confused. I was trying to put my faith, my belief, in my belief. I tell you what I finally did when I was 19. I turned my eyes to the cross. I say, did the Lord Jesus Christ die for me? Yes, he did. I trust what God says, that all of my sins were paid for. And now I know that I am born again, as the Bible talks about. I have a new life, and it's changed me. I'm by no means perfect. I'm still a sinner. But I honestly try to follow God, and he helps me. And this is what we want to encourage anyone here who has not believed, maybe not sure. Maybe you have a profession, but you have doubts. I tell you, when I look inside myself, I have great doubts whether I'm a Christian. I go, a Christian wouldn't do that. But when I turn my eyes to the cross and I see my Lord on that cross, I say, oh, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. That's where I get my peace from, my peace with God. So he's left us this wonderful book called the Bible. We need to take the time to study it and to share with other people that wonderful verse. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I encourage you to keep looking into that and thinking about it, dwelling, meditating upon this verse. It is so deep. I've only scratched, scratched the surface of what the Lord is trying to tell us here. May God bless you. And if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus, this is the greatest thing, is to trust in him. It's life-changing. And I can tell you from my testimony, it changed my life for the better. It's the number one best decision I made in my whole life. And I'm sure that others would tell you the exact same thing here. So we are witnesses of what the Lord has done and how he has changed our life. May God bless us. Thank you for inviting me here. And I encourage us to keep looking up to the Lord. Keep trusting in him and follow his word. Let me close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to give thanks to you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And that no one comes to the Father but through him. Father, we're thankful that we can believe in him. We can follow him. We don't have to know what all the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And Lord, if anyone here this morning has not trusted in you, our prayer is, Lord, that they may receive your wonderful gift of salvation, so full, so free, and only by believing. Bless us, we do pray, Father, as we go our ways now. Thank you for this day in our Savior's precious name. Amen.